Okay, picture the thing that you've always wanted to learn. Maybe it's how to play chess or creative writing or gardening. Now picture learning that thing from the person who's literally the best at it in the world. That is what you get with Masterclass. Masterclass is such an easy way to help you learn more about something you're interested in. You can seriously find classes on everything from turning your passion into achievements with cultural icon Martha Stewart to principles of improv from Amy Poehler. Are you kidding me? Y'all, I did a cooking class with Gordon Ramsay. And it was so much fun. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best and become your best. Masterclass is the only streaming platform where you can learn and grow with over 200 plus of the world's best. For just $10 a month, an annual membership gets you unlimited access to every instructor. And you can access Masterclass on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even in audio mode. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't waste another minute to start your learning journey with Masterclass. Right now, our friends get an additional 15% off of any annual membership at masterclass.com/soundsfun. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/soundsfun. masterclass.com/soundsfun. Hi, friends. Welcome to a very special surprise dropped episode of the That Sounds Fun podcast. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. And here with me today are two of my favorite pastors in Nashville. Our pastor, Pastor of the Pod, Kevin Queen, and pastor of Ethos Church, Dave Clayton. In the last few weeks, you've probably heard me mention Awaken Nashville, which has been this 30-day journey going on in Nashville for people to fast and pray for revival in our city. And it has been incredibly special, and Dave and Kevin kind of headed that up. You're going to hear a lot about it. But what's happened since this kind of became public is there were news features about it, articles about it, and a lot of people have reached out to Dave and to awakennashville.com and said, how do we do this in our city? And so I asked Dave and Kevin to come on the show for us and kind of tell you, no matter what city you live in, what would it look like to pray for your city? And how did Awaken Nashville start? Where did it come from? Why did it work? Did it work? And I think you'll be really interested in this conversation. So wherever you live, I hope you will enjoy this conversation with Pastor Dave and Pastor Kevin about Awaken Nashville. Gentlemen.
Annie.
Welcome to the pod.
What's up?
Dave Clayton, you've never been on the show before.
I know. I'm so honored.
Well, don't. Thank you, but it's more work. It's more work for you, but I appreciate it.
It is so nice to finally meet you.
Yeah, right. Do you know the truth about Dave Clayton? And then I want y'all to tell me about each other, but first I'm going to tell you about Dave Clayton. Dave Clayton, when our pastor left, Dave and I were already friends because we've had mutual friends in town for a long time. But when our pastor, before you, Pastor Kevin, left Cross Point, I bet once a week Dave Clayton asked me what I needed from a pastor. Well, even though he wasn't my pastor at my church. And I thought, well, what you don't know is now we're loyal for life.
Yeah.
You pastored a person who didn't have a pastor, and I'm forever grateful. So
you're my sister. Yeah. You know, I love you. I believe in you. And
thank you.
I know that was a tough season.
Yeah. So, well, you're really kind. Yeah. Tell me how y'all are friends. How are two pastors from two large churches? Because Dave is the pastor of Ethos Church, Nashville, multi-site church. Kevin, you're the pastor of Cross Point Church, multi-site church. How are y'all friends?
Well, when I got to town, people kept saying, do you know Dave Clayton? Do you know Dave Clayton? Do you know? And I was like, no, I don't. And they're like, you should meet Dave Clayton. And finally, somebody's like, hey, I will connect you guys through a text. And so I think it was a connection through a text. And
Then
after that, we met up. My car was in the shop. So instead of meeting at the coffee shop, we had to quick adjust and meet at the office. And we met up at the office that day. And that began a friendship. And, I think we both kind of knew quickly, like in the conversation, that, man, this is a relationship that God has given us.
Yeah. Is that what'd you think after y'all's first conversation? This is like couples month all over again. Y'all just keep telling us about yourselves.
You know, it was crazy. We spent like the first 30 or 40 minutes just kind of, you know, just shooting the breeze. And then there's this moment where, you know, I realized he had a heart for revival. I started seeing his bookshelf literally. It's like, oh my goodness, I've got those books. And I don't, you know, none of my friends have those books. And so we just kind of started, and it's like there were two halves of the conversation. The first half was, hey, let's just kind of find out, you know, who we are. And then all of a sudden, you know, I remember getting in the car on the way home talking with Sydney and my wife, and I said, I think we're going to be really good friends. I mean, literally, like leaving the parking lot of the church.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, we're going to be such good friends. And I just knew it. And,
yeah.
And it's been true. And it's kind of like God's microwave the friendship.
Yeah.
Know? So
it does feel that way.
We've only been friends for a year, but I feel like I've known him for a decade. So
yeah. Tell me why you love revival.
Man, yeah. You
when
know,
did that start?
I don't know when it started. You know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, you know, we were pretty early on into our church plant. Everything was going great, you know, at least by human standards. It was all up and to the right. But I realized, you know, even though things were going good and things were growing, the city was just so outpacing what we were seeing happen.
Interesting.
And I just remember thinking one day I was driving home and I thought, man, God, if this was, you know, a physical war, like, if Jesus was asking us to take a city, I'm like, man, we could never take it like this. I mean, there's no way we're going to fill every nook and cranny with the glory of God if we do it by ourselves. And if we go about it in our own strength with processes and strategy and all that. And so it was in that season that God started kind of burning this, I just think this desire in me to see like the transformation of a city, not just the filling of a church, mm-hmm. which is two totally different things, you know. And so that angst started to kind of burn in Sydney and I. And about the same time, God started inviting us into a lot of global context. We spent kind of a big chunk of about 2 years, our whole family working in other countries with other leaders from tons of different nations. And it was in that season, everywhere we went, we just started tasting the dream that God had put in our heart for Nashville. And it was actually on a spiritual retreat about 5 years ago as the angst was beginning to burn right before we started going into some of these global settings.
Yeah.
That the Lord said to us, he said, Dave, your next season of ministry in the States, you're going to learn from the global South.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I don't know anybody in the global South. Like,
yeah.
How's that going to happen? What do you mean? And so God just started opening the door, just kind of piece by piece. But he put the burden there long before he opened the doors. And so I don't know exactly how long, but probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Kind of that hunger for revival.
Kevin, can you give a definition to revival? It feels like a church word we use a lot, but we're going to talk about it a lot in this show. Mm-hmm. What's a revival?
Yeah. I mean, I think in the easiest terms, it's when something that is dead or not alive, right?
Yep.
Ends up finding new life. So when a church comes to life, mm-hmm. when the life of God is on a church. So it's not just a church, it starts with a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a person is revived, when the normal Christian life, right? What we see around us when the life of God comes on that and begins to be not normal. So I think it happens personally before it happens in a city. And I'd say like a person, and it happens in a marriage when a marriage is revived and when a small group experienced the life of God on it. And then you see a church that where there's not life, where the Spirit of God moves. And I think it is normal Christianity. I think it's the biblical Christianity, the way that things are supposed to be. But then I think when it goes beyond that, like in a city, I think it's community transformation. So I think it can be talked about, but I think when we go back and look historically, we see like what happened in Wales in 1905, where an entire nation is changed mm-hmm. by the power of God,
mm-hmm.
and so the stories of you know, judges putting on white gloves because there are no more cases to try, and police officers are bored because, you know, violence is down.
Entire soccer games canceled.
Yes,
because people wouldn't leave church.
Wouldn't leave church. Yeah. And then when they do have soccer matches, people are singing worship songs, you know, in the soccer.
Yeah.
So I think it's the life of God on a people.
And you know what's great about that 1905 one is there were already newspapers and there were already cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not hearing these like, there's old time story. You're like, no, like just go read the London Times.
Right.
It's like reporters from all over the UK were going to Wales to write about this.
Yes.
And you can read all of it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
Yes. And I think when we get a picture of it and then begin to imagine, I think that I've heard say prophetic imagination, like just begin to get a picture of what that looks like mm-hmm. in our mm-hmm. context. And I love the way that that you've led people in that conversation on revival anywhere where can you talk a little bit about that, where you were talking with some people and helping them get the snapshots?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you hear the story, Dave? Some friends and I were talking about revival. And I just said, because I think part of the, we think revival just looks like a stadium being filled.
Yeah.
And I think it is. I mean, I think if you look back historically on revival, you can trust what history says revival looks like, which is people coming to Christ en masse. Mm-hmm. And that is what we want for our city. But also, I think like Kevin was saying, there's moments of revival. So I said, if God took you to revival for 10 minutes and you could take one picture, tell us what that picture would be.
Oh, that's good.
Come back and tell us. Because it's just like Caleb and Joshua, when they went into the promised land, they could only bring back one bunch of grapes, but there were a lot more grapes. But they grabbed the one kind of fruit they saw. That didn't mean that was the only fruit.
Yeah.
Right? So then the group of friends, we all kind of sat around and went like, it'd be a picture of me and my mom being restored. Mm. Or it'd be a picture of, one friend said, it'd be a picture. That's not my story. My mom is and I are fine. But that was what one story was. But then someone else said, I see all these kids singing in a field. And I was like, okay, I believe you. Yeah. Like, you know, and so then it just kind of gave us all these like, oh, we should trust history of what God has done in the past. We want him to do again. Also, revival is going to look like something in your life. Mm-hmm. So it has been, it's been cool.
Yeah. And I love that you're talking about just large groups of people coming to Jesus. And you talk about what revival brings. And then awakening is even bigger than that. So revival starts in the church. Mm-hmm. Then awakening happens across a region. Awakening is just that.
That's actually a good distinction for me. Yeah. Okay.
So when you think of awakening in a city, you think of just, I mean, we're talking about thousands and tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people coming to faith historically.
And, more backsides than chairs in churches. Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I love that. And we're talking about all the churches experiencing that. So it's not just one church, but awakening is when all the churches, when all the boats rise, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've been out on the road during this last few months and I keep accidentally talking about Awaken Nashville, just because it feels like something I've never experienced or heard before. And so people ask me tons of questions, and y'all have been getting tons of questions as well. So I thought, what if we just got around microphones and y'all just talked about Awaken Nashville, kind of telling what it's been like for us, but also I haven't met a person who didn't say, well, I want to do that here in whatever their city is. So can we talk a little bit about how did you even come up with Awaken Nashville, this idea? So tell us what it is and tell me how you came up with it.
So Awaken Nashville, it's this citywide movement of prayer and fasting that it's had more than 410 churches, really about 420 churches that have committed for a month to pray for every person in the city of Nashville by name, and then to write them a handwritten note telling them how much they matter to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So in the most basic kind of, hey, what is this thing? It was a month-long journey of prayer and fasting, but we really believe there's a lot more than that, it's this thing that God's stirring up. And so it began really a couple of years ago, kind of that heart for revival that we were talking about. Sydney and I came back from our time overseas, and we started really feeling this, you know, we saw historically that before every great awakening, before every great revival, there was this moment where the people of God got really serious about prayer and fasting.
Okay.
And you could just see that just kind of across human history. Yeah. And so we came back and thought, man, we've never really done that. Our church would pray and fast for a day or two here and there, not very strategically, not very intensely, but we thought, okay, God, you're asking us to do this. And so about 3 years ago, we started calling our church into these kind of month-long journeys of prayer and fasting. We started tithing our year in prayer as a church.
Brilliant. And, that's a great way to call it, tithing your year. Yeah.
So we just thought we're going to give the first fruits. At the time, we took one of our most popular Sunday worship services and turned it into a prayer gathering. We started taking the first month or two of the year, and we'd pray and fast in a lot of other ways. But we thought, God, we're going to get really serious about this. And so it was last year, about 2 years into that journey, in the middle of our month-long kind of yearly fast, where one morning I was up praying for our boys. We have three little boys, 8, 6, and 4 years old. And I was praying for my youngest son, Judah, who at the time was 3. And I was praying for him. And as I was praying, just the Spirit of God, it's the only way I know how to describe. He just started speaking to my heart. And he said, Dave, if your youngest son, Judah, were to go missing, what would you do? Mm. And I said, Lord, you know exactly what I'd do. I'd spend the rest of my life looking for Judah.
Yeah.
And he said, Dave, your city is filled with my missing kids. And the church has quit looking. And I want you to wake up the search and rescue teams. And so that kind of sat with me as a Wednesday morning, almost exactly a year ago.
Oh my God.
I told Sydney, didn't tell anybody else. On Sunday, 4 days later, I was at our weekly prayer service. And so I was there that night, didn't really want to be there. I was tired. It was the end of the day. I'd preached like 5 times. I thought, man, I don't want to be there. Yeah. But I'm the pastor. I have to go. So I show up, and we get to the end of the prayer service. One of my friends, a guy named Tom, he comes up and he said, Dave, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's, did you know it's possible to get a list of every person that lives in the city of Nashville? And I said, no. And he said, I think you're supposed to get that list. I think you're supposed to lead us in prayer. Well, right after the Lord had given me that vision about Judah 4 days earlier, I kept praying into it. And he just kept giving me this phrase, hey, raise up a strategic intercessor on behalf of every name, every neighborhood, every nation. So for 4 days, that phrase, every name, every neighborhood, every nation, was going through my mind. And then I show up at prayer and Tom says, hey, did you know you could get a list of... And that was the moment where I just said, okay, God, we don't know how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And honestly, for about 4 or 5 months, we didn't do anything with it. Sydney and I just kind of kept it close to our chest and we thought, how do we do this? This is nuts. And 2 or 3 times a year, she and I would get away for a prayer retreat, just the two of us, and we'll just ask God, hey, here's our life, blank piece of paper. Do you want us to keep doing what we're doing? Do you want us to start over? And that's just a rhythm that we have. And so we're at one of those retreats, and it was July 27th of this past year, and the Lord said, hey, there's this thing I told you to do that you haven't moved on. Why don't you move on it? And so...
And by then, you and Kevin are already friends.
Yeah, we're already friends at that point. Yeah. So we came back, and it was like, okay, here we go. We're going to do this. And so that was the... That's kind of the way that it got started. You know, God put this heart for revival in us. We didn't know how to bring about revival. We know it's only God. We saw prayer and fasting, started doing it in our marriage, with our friends, in our church. And then it was in one of those seasons, like 2 years in, where God said, hey, I want you to do this for a city.
Yeah.
And we began to realize, man, you know, I went out and got the list of names, and I thought, this would take our church a decade, you know, to pray for all these people. Yeah. And the Lord said, I never asked you to do it. I said, wake up the search and rescue teams. Like, wake up the churches, not just yours. And so... I sat down with Kevin. I'm like, hey.
So I've got this idea. I remember he came to me. He was like, Dave Clayton's got this idea.
I'm like, hey, you want to do this? And he's like, you think we can get another church to do it too? I'm like, yeah, I think we could probably get a few. And then God just started opening the doors. And it's been crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
So now, you know, 400-something churches just got done doing this.
Yeah. Kevin, why does it matter that you pray for a city like that?
Well, I think, you know, when you take prayer and fasting, those two things together, fasting has a way of causing us to be more in tune with the heart of God.
Yeah,
you know,
no
we're
question.
Taking something that we love, which is food, and we're saying, no, there's something that I love more and there's something that I want more than that. So I think when you take that, which in our cultures, fasting is really hard and it's really crazy. And but I think there is this collective energy that comes like when you're fasting with other people, especially when churches are leading into fasting for the very first time, when you realize, hey, we're not the only ones doing this. There are other churches that are part of that. So I think, you know, I believe prayer is the most powerful and effective force on the planet. And I think that our prayers, like the shelf life is forever, you know? So when we pray for other people by name, and I think our prayers affect the hand of God and Him working in people's lives. So I think that's the greatest gift we can give for another person.
Yeah.
And even for a stranger, we're connecting our prayers with God's work in their life. And we might not know till heaven, right? It might not be till heaven till we're able to connect the dots you know, with what's happened. But every single prayer matters over every single name. And there wasn't one fasted meal that didn't affect things, you know,
that's right.
In the spiritual. So it is. And I think for people to know who are doing things for the very first time, I mean, we even have people who didn't yet believe in God.
So
I'm going to give this a try.
I thought that was so funny that people who weren't even Christians yet were fasting.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, won't the Lord do it? Won't He just mix up somebody's story like that? I thought that was so funny.
Right. And we think maybe as pastors and as leaders, we're like, oh, this is like a 401 exercise, you know?
Right.
And then we've got people who aren't even in the faith yet going, hey, okay.
It's a 101.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 101.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Dave, tell me, before, I would love for us to kind of say to people in other cities, here's if you want to do something like this, here's how we do it. But first, will you tell me, like, what's been your favorite story you've heard already? Because, I mean, the stories are just, they've been pouring in.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's been so many stories. Kevin told a really cool story, you know, last week in a sermon about a guy who showed up at church, at a church building on a Wednesday afternoon and just said, I've got to get right with God.
Yeah.
And he found this church, shows up, gives his life to Jesus, gets baptized that night, kind of this crazy moment. And then 2 days later, he dies unexpectedly. Yeah. And it's just this crazy, like kind of tragic moment. And then his whole family shows up the next Sunday going, hey, we've got to find the guy that led our dad to the Lord. And then we had the joy of finding the people that have been praying for him.
Because he was on someone's list.
He was on somebody's list.
Because everybody who signed up got a list of 15 names to pray for and addresses. And so y'all found the people whose list they were on.
Yeah, he's on two lists. We found one of the people.
Oh, my gosh.
And so just crazy.
What happened when you told them?
She's just blown away. Yeah. Just going, man, all month long, you know, this mom, several kids that had a pretty crazy season, but she just said, hey, I'm going to get up every day before anybody in my family. I'm just going to pray.
Yeah.
Just praying over those names. And so, you know, the stories like that.
And then didn't his whole family come to Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just shifting. Unreal. Just shifting eternal realities.
Yeah, that's
I think
right.
about a, I got a note the other day from a lady who said, you know, her husband had been battling suicidal tendencies and had gone into the psychiatric ward and had this really difficult a weekend, you know, and he gets out and he's coming back from that kind of traumatic experience over the weekend, and driving home on Monday, they have a car crash and he's fine. He lived, but it was a pretty bad car crash and just devastated. He thought, man, I'm worthless.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get anything together. I wrecked my car on the way home, gets back, opens up his mailbox, and there's this postcard and the lady writes in it, "Your life matters to God."
Oh my gosh.
And just broke this dude's heart wide open.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just story after story after story where people go, man, the timing, you know. Mm. I think about one of my friends that I've been walking with for a decade. He calls me this morning and goes, man, listen to this postcard. It's like somebody's been following me around. Like,
you're lying.
No, and it's just stuff like that where I go, you know, the Spirit of God, he's at work in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
And it's been so cool.
Because for every person that we prayed for, there was a postcard included that we could mail to them. We got in a packet. We got that list, some prayer direction, a 30-day devotional, and 15 postcards to mail.
Yeah.
And I said to Kevin the other day, Dave, I haven't even said this to you, but I said to Kevin, like, as I was writing my letters, I was like, I am really sad to say goodbye to these 15 people that I do not know, because I have said their names every day for 30 days.
It's crazy. It's weird how you...
Yeah. So then you write them a note and you're like, I guess we're done.
You can keep praying.
I'm going to. Yeah. I didn't throw away. I didn't burn my list, but I was like,
set it on fire.
But it does feel different when it ends.
It does.
When you go like, oh,
yeah,
I don't have direction to pray for you every day. I don't know if I'll ever know you, but I'm going to miss you because I've been praying your name
That's
every
so
day.
That's so cool.
So you were going to say something.
No, I'm just, Dave, can you talk a little bit about like what, when that packet was put together, like, you know, there was the book that was in there and the devotional guide. Like, what's the purpose of the
right,
devotional
co-host.
Guide?
Let's go. Yeah. No. Let's go. You've been on here enough times. You're the pastor. We call him the pastor of the pod. So he's been on here enough times. He's got the quote. Yeah. So the packet y'all made that you passed out to everybody.
Yeah. You know, so I kind of think of this moment with my boys. There's this river we love going to, and it's got these stepping stones across the river. And so my two oldest sons, their legs are long enough where they can jump between the rocks. And so one day we're out there and they're jumping between the stones. And my youngest son, who thinks he can do whatever they can do, he tries to jump and his legs are too short. So he falls in the water.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching this from the side of the river. And I'm like, what are they going to do? And my oldest two sons do exactly what an 8 and a 6-year-old should do. They start laughing at their brother.
Yeah, for sure.
And they're making fun of them. And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, what should brothers do? And my oldest son in that moment, I mean, when I said, hey, what should you do? He goes over to the side and he gets this huge rock and he goes and he puts it in between the stones, in the stepping stones. And then my other son came and started doing that. And I went, that's what you do.
Yeah.
And it was kind of this like this moment for me where I went,
gosh, that's kind of cool because he didn't carry him.
It's like that's a picture. So the job is for those that are farther along to go, how do we make sure that everybody can make the step across? And so when we're thinking about this, we're going, man, as Americans, we don't tend to fast very well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of against everything. You know, we live in a, you know, it's like all about self-satisfaction. So self-denial goes against the grain. We don't tend to pray very well, and we especially don't pray for others very well. A lot of prayer that happens in America is very me-centered, self-centered, not kingdom-centered. And so we're going, okay, man, there's some gaps across this river. Like if on the other side of the shore is the awakening— and all of these folks are over here, and man, that's what they really want. They don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. How do we put enough stones across so that everybody can walk with us? And so we literally sat down, and I started thinking, okay, you know, for the most type A person, what would they need to know?
Yeah.
For the guy in the back row that's not a follower of Jesus, but he comes because the girl that invited him is beautiful, and he wants to just be around her.
Yeah.
Like, how do I give him a next step?
Yeah.
You know, for the mom that has prayed for her son for a decade, but he still hasn't come home to Jesus yet— how do I help her walk through this? And so that it was just questions like that. We started thinking about real people in our life, we started thinking about the thing that they all want, which is awakening, even if they don't know it.
That's right.
It's what we all want. Nobody, I've never talked to anybody, hey, Annie, what do you want in church? Well, I would love a nice short message and a song that does not impact my life.
Right.
It's like everybody is looking for just the transformation mm-hmm. of the soul. Mm-hmm. And we're going, okay, that's what they want. So how do we just give them, how do we eliminate some of those barriers, make the bar as low as possible? So
yeah.
It's kind of how we, just a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
So and then you started working on it.
And so then in the packet was, go through everything that was in the packet.
Yeah, so in the packet, you know, each packet was unique. And so.
Which is crazy.
Which logistically took a little bit of work.
But, yeah, believe it.
But each packet had basically an instruction sheet that said, hey, this is what it is, when it is, where it is, and how you do it.
Yeah.
And then it told about the resources. It told them the three things they needed to do to get ready for the fast and three things they needed to do every day once it began. And yeah. So just really simple. So instruction sheets, there were 15 blank postcards. There was a list of 15 unique names, just first names and addresses.
How do you get those? How do you get the list of everybody in your city?
So it's funny because everybody's like, man, that's crazy. How do you do that? And I go, the phone book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all public. So what we did, we worked with a legal team to be really wise, but
yeah.
It was just all public information. So anybody that was unlisted, we kept them unlisted. We didn't buy any information. Everything was legal, free. I just tell everybody, it just takes a little bit of hustle.
Yeah.
So it's there. It just took forever. It just took a lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
Getting the information. And so... So a list of 15 names and then a couple of resources just to help people. So one was a short resource on, okay, why do you fast? How do you fast? What are some next steps? And then another, just a daily prayer guide with some points. Here's how I pray for myself because, you know, revival starts with me.
Yeah.
And then how do I pray for these people that I don't know? Because, we didn't want, 40,000 people sitting across the city just reading names as fast as they could. Jesus, please bless, Annie, Kevin, Dave, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you disciple people?
I love that part,
to
Dave.
To pray for somebody they don't know.
Yeah.
And so we just, how do we make it simple? So that's the goal.
Yeah, you did it. I mean, I was, and even giving us like a, here's what you should write on the postcard, here's what you shouldn't write on the postcard, here's an example. I was like, well, won't Dave Clayton show me how to do everything? Is Awaken Nashville, can they go download things so they can, how can they see what you've already made?
Yeah. So you can go to awakennashville.com.
Yeah.
And there's a resource page you can click on. You can download some things. One of the things we're wrestling with right now is the what's next.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to make any promises or say anything.
Sure, sure.
But we've had folks from well over 100 cities reach out and say, hey, we want to do this. And so one of the things that we're working on right now is how do we equip people? Like how do we give some insight into the process? How do we give you the resources? We don't want, kind of through this whole process with even the churches that came on board, we said, hey, listen, you don't have to do this way.
Yeah.
Like we could care less. We're not trying to roll out a program or a brand.
Right.
We're just saying, hey, this is a way that we're doing it. If it's helpful, do it. If it's not, don't do it that way.
Yeah.
But we didn't want people to feel inspired to do something that they were unequipped to step into.
That's good.
And so our goal is to say, hey, here's something to try. And so our goal is to figure out, hey, how do we put this in people's hands? But yeah, right now they can go to the website and get some
of those. So forever, no matter what other resources you offer, if they go to Awaken Nashville, there will be direction to help them find things in the future.
Yeah,
if they listen to this in 6 months and y'all have some sort of downloadable thing that is helpful for any city, they can always go to Awaken Nashville and they will find it.
Yep.
Why 15 people? Why do we need to pray for people by name? How come you can't just say to a city, all right, Charlotte, North Carolina, split up neighborhoods?
Well, you probably could. So I don't want to say you couldn't,
okay.
And I'm sure
I'm not being bossy. Yeah. I just was asking. So no, y'all can do it however y'all want.
Yeah.
Charlotte. I ain't the boss of you, Charlotte.
It's like, dang it. I wish we would have thought of that. Like that list took forever.
That's right.
For us, a very specific part of the calling in the vision for us was God said, I want you to raise up a strategic intercessor for every name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what came in that first vision.
Yeah.
Every name. And I thought, man, Lord, every name. And he said, yeah, I know every name.
Mm.
And there's some people in your city who their names have never been uttered off of anyone's lips before the throne room of heaven. Like, yeah. I grew up in a great house. People prayed for me before I was born. After I was born, I prayed for my kids. There's people in our city that no one had ever said their name out loud before God. And
gosh, that's unreal.
And it's just crazy. And so the reason we did names was just because it was a directive.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would have thought of that, honestly. We've done prayer walks. We've walked around the city. We've done neighborhoods. We've done that as a church for years. But the name piece, that's why we got to the names.
Yeah. Why do you think that matters, Kev?
you know, I think it, especially when we can kind of get in our cow paths, mm-hmm. our normal routines mm-hmm. in life, when we're praying for people from a different part of town, and you can tell from their name, they're yeah. from a different ethnicity. Yeah. I think there's just something to a, and really what revival brings, you know, revival brings all the best things that we want. So we talk about racial reconciliation and unity. When revival takes place, that you get that too.
Yeah.
And so, so I think part of caring for people deeply, and I remember just, you know, praying for somebody on my list, not really know if I'm pronouncing their name. You know, I think when yeah. Jesus intercedes for us, you know,
the
I think
first thing
going,
he does,
he's going, Father, what he really meant was, yeah. you know,
y'all know, you know his name, Father, because you know Kevin Queen did not say it right.
Yeah. Said it wrong for 30 days.
That's right.
I bet that guy's going to walk up to me in heaven and go, my name is pronounced.
Yeah, that's right, right, right.
But I think, you know, I think that it helps take a big city and make it smaller. And the other part about it is, man, you're walking down the street, or you're at the mall, you're driving down the road, and you see somebody, you're like, you don't know, that could be the person that you're yeah. that you're praying for. Yeah. So yeah. I love that.
That's one thing I saw different in me, is that, like, the waiter at True Food told me she was pregnant. I asked her about her nails. You know me and nails. I was like, your nails are so cute. And she's like, well, I had a baby reveal yesterday. I'm having a boy. And my brain starts thinking about revival.
Wow.
And I went, like, she didn't have to tell me that. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of what Awaken Nashville has done for us is opened our eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Where conversations like that before that held no weight now hold weight.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I'm going to see her a lot because I hear a lot. And I'm going to see that baby grow in her, and I'm going to get to ask her, and I can hand them a Jesus Storybook Bible in three months. And, you know, all of a sudden, I care about her.
Yeah.
Because I've been praying for 30 days for our city. And I go, like, oh, all of a sudden, I care about that True Food waitress. Mm. And I'm gonna follow up. And I know, you know, and I don't know that I'd have done that in December.
Yeah.
But I did that in January because you told me to pray and fast.
Man, that's cool.
And so how many people do you think across our city prayed?
Well, you know, we have more than 40,000 people that said they were in. Now, you know, who knows?
Sure. But more than 40,000 people, and yeah. they each had 15. So that's like...
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah.
And it was so cool, even just the way that God was in the details, because we had to make so many decisions before we knew any answers.
Yeah.
You know, so for instance, we have this list, and I go, now we've got to break this list up, and we don't even know how many churches are going to be in, and how many... And so we just started asking God, hey, God, tell us how many people to put on the list.
Come on.
Tell us how many packets
Strategy.
To print. Tell
yep.
us, and the Lord would just give us 15.
Yeah.
You know, and he was directing us. And I yeah. could just tell you story after story of just details that, I mean, God was just in the details.
Yeah. Dave, so talk for a minute. I mean, I think, like you say, the Lord told me. What does that mean for people? You know, when you say the Lord gave us direction, what does that mean for the person listening that's going, man, I got decisions to make. How do I know that it's... That is God leading me.
Man, yeah. That sounds fun with Annie F.
I know. Kevin, I listen Kevin to that F. question. I've heard you ask
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great question.
And I used to always be the guy that when I'd hear people say, oh, God told me,
yeah.
I'd, you know, just full disclosure, I was the guy that would roll his eyes and go, I bet he did.
Yeah.
And I was a Christian, you
yeah.
know, and that was just kind of my, but, you know, one of the things that I've seen as I've just continued to walk with God is what Jesus said is true. He said, my sheep know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my sheep know my voice. Now, there's a lot of competing voices. And so for me, it is, how do I consistently escape the noise of life
mm-hmm.
so I can hear the voice of my shepherd?
Mm.
And he speaks in a lot of different ways, just like my wife talks to me in a lot of different ways. Sometimes a text message. Sometimes she calls me. Sometimes she's mad at me at a party and she just looks at me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a lot of different ways, you know, Sydney Clayton can communicate with me.
Yeah.
But all of them are effective. And, you know, the longer we've been together, she, you know, I think about recently, she was with one of her friends and she didn't have her phone. And so she picked up her friend's phone and she sent me a text from her friend.
Uh-huh.
And it said, hey, baby. And she's like, right.
Yeah.
And I didn't know she left her phone. But
yeah.
immediately I knew it was Sydney, even though it was coming through her friend's phone, because I could recognize her voice even when it's written.
Okay.
And I think the more we walk with God, we're going to miss it. We do it in community. We weigh it against the power of Scripture. It takes time. It takes testing. All these things. You know, it's not a formulaic thing, but as we walk with God and as we ask Him sincerely about the things that He cares about,
mm-hmm.
it is His heart. It is His heart to talk.
Yeah.
It is His heart to communicate. He's a father. He is not an absentee father.
Yeah, that's good.
He's not an absentee father. He loves us. He knows us. He speaks in really very real ways. And I think a lot of times, you know, if I'm just being very confessional, even through this whole process, I kept saying, God, give me the plan. And he said, I'm not going to give you the plan, because if I give you the roadmap, you'll leave me. Mm. I'm not going to give you the roadmap. I'm going to give you myself.
That's it.
You take it or leave it. I'll give you myself. And what I found is there's times when he's quiet and I want him to speak. There's times when, you know, he feels late to the game, and it's only until later I go, whoa, he's right on time.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
right. And all that stuff, you know, if you're listening and going, yeah, I've heard all that before. I know, I've been there. It feels cliche. But it's true. And so.
Yeah. And something I know we've had conversations about, and that I just see in you is carving out just that space to listen and listening prayer. You know, in the scriptures where it talks about, you know, be slow to speak and quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes, like we were talking the other day, is like, man, God may be slow to speak until we are quick to listen.
Yeah.
And I heard somebody say, well, you don't have to spend a long time in prayer. Just don't go a long time without praying. And I was like, man, that's really good. But then I started thinking about, I was like, no, it's those long times of just lingering in prayer. That's really where we are attuned. We become attuned to his voice.
Yeah.
And and I think it took me a while to be comfortable with calling that prayer.
Yeah.
Because for most of my life, prayer was me talking rather than just sitting and listening. You know, and it can be hard, especially in our culture, to just sit, but I see that with you, and then your confidence as you followed those prompts and then God affirms that, you're like, oh, that was the voice of God. And so I've seen in you, even through this process, just your confidence in the voice of God.
Oh yeah.
And, it's inspiring. It really is. It's encouraging for me too. So
what's been your favorite story from Awaken Nashville, Kev?
I've been saying like the most recent one, because there's so many.
Yeah, there's just so many. Yeah,
but I do love the story of the guy who was in AA with somebody from the church, and his wife served him divorce papers, and he was just at that crisis. He didn't believe in God, but he called his friend who did, and his friend invited him to church, and he's like, man, there are people who are tatted up and people with holes in it. And then he went to his friend and he said, hey, what are you doing for this fast? And his friend who went to the church said, man, he tells him something that he's doing that, you know, isn't like a biblical. He said, well, I don't think that's what the pastor was talking about. He said, I'm going to fast food. And so he fasted food. This guy who's a professed, you know, atheist is saying, man, I'm going to fast food and pray for my marriage. And so the cool story is this guy came up with this idea to put his keys in his boots next to his bed. So he had to get on his knees in the morning and pray for that. And and he fasted food. And then it was a few days later, his wife comes to him and she says, now remind me why we're getting a divorce. And she's the one who served the papers. Mm-hmm. And so he called his friends back. He's like, I'm not really there yet, like ready to commit to Jesus. But I'm like, he said, I'm close.
I'm getting close. That's right. That's good.
I'm like, bro, what else do you need?
Yeah. Right. What other kind of invite you need? Have you heard the story about the woman's engagement ring?
No.
Oh, listen to this. I think I'll tell this right. You correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. She loses her, she has like her great grandmother's ring as her engagement ring. She's married, has kids. She loses it in December and it just looks everywhere. Goes outside, looks in her house, can't find it anywhere. And just never finds it. And as the fast comes around, as Awaken Nashville starts in January and she's praying, she senses the Lord say, the way you feel about that lost ring is the way I feel about my lost kids.
Wow.
And she's just, because she's been beside herself because it mattered so much. And so it raised the urgency of her praying. She prays the whole month. That Sunday comes and her kids find her ring in the yard.
Whoa, no.
The last day of Awaken Nashville, her kids find a ring in the yard.
That's
like
so
get
good.
Home from church, they run out to play and they come in. Is this the ring you've been looking for?
Mm. Oh my God.
Won't he do that? I mean, I just was like, I mean, when I heard that one, I went, okay, that's
awesome.
That's something.
The kingdom of God is like.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And I called Kevin this morning because one of my dearest friends had moved away from Nashville and just moved back. And we were just talking this morning and casual. And he says, yeah, when I moved back on Sunday. And I went, oh, you moved back on Sunday. You moved back the last day of Awaken Nashville. That's not a joke.
That's cool.
That is, the Lord is bringing people back in every kind of way. And even when I was sitting, I was real late to church yesterday for a thing, and I was sitting in traffic, and I said to my friend in the car, I said, I'm annoyed that I'm late. This is on me. I'm annoyed about this traffic, but God's bringing people to this city.
Yes.
And so we're sitting in traffic with people because God's bringing people back. What do you want to see happen in the next 6 months? What do you think this has done?
You know, I pause because there's some things where I'm going, I'm not sure if I can talk about it yet.
Okay. You don't have to.
You know, just because I'm still sorting them out with the Lord. So there's some things where I go, man, I think that's he and I until he gives me the green light.
Do that.
But what I would say is, you know, what I'm seeing in churches and what I'm seeing in people all across the city is what I hope we see tenfold. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, there's this life that's springing up in people. There's this level of intentionality and mission. And
I feel that me.
And thoughtfulness. You know, I walked into a restaurant the other day, and there were two guys that were sitting at a table, and they both had their list of names that they're praying, and they'd showed up from different churches individually.
Did you know them?
No, I just saw them there praying.
And
so they show up and they're there on their own. But they find each other. And so now I go, that's what I want to happen in the city.
Yeah.
Where followers of Jesus are going, hey, we're on the same team, we're on the same mission. There's mm-hmm. people in the city that we care about, and I want to see it happen exponentially, you know, and so, you know, on a general level, to see something happen in the church and then to see something happen in the culture, you know, I think a simple definition of apostasy is when the culture influences the church.
Mm-hmm.
So the church starts looking more like the culture. I think when you have revival, all of a sudden the culture starts looking like the church.
Yeah.
Like the church is the influencer.
Yeah.
And I go, man, that's what I want to see. I want to see, you know, in the next 6 months where all of a sudden, you know, the way that we're doing marriage and friendship and finances and the way that we're thinking about art and the way that we're dealing with justice and the way that we're serving the poor and the way that we are spending our free time, where the world goes, man, that's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I've been wanting. That's the where our lives become the taste test of heaven.
Yeah.
Where they go, oh, that's it. That's it. That's the thing I've been trying and but haven't been able to find out here somewhere. And so, yeah, that's what
I'm
hoping.
How in the world did y'all get 400 churches to agree to this? Did you just cold call?
Well, honestly, it was the work of God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just, you know, Kevin always says this, and it's so true, you know, unity is our job. Like we've got to make the choice to come together, and then the Spirit brings a fire, which is so, so important to me. We literally sent an email to every single church that we could find in the city, 1,200 emails.
Okay.
And we started asking, and the response, the first time we, you know, I told Kevin about this, and then the first time we started telling other churches was in the middle of September.
Okay.
And we're going to roll this out at the beginning of January, which is not a far lead time.
Yeah, yeah.
We hadn't created any resources at that point. We didn't have a list.
Dang.
Listen, we didn't create the resources or the list until December.
God love you.
Just I mean, like, so you think about how it's all pulled together. And I told our team of volunteers, I said, hey, first things first, let's see if anybody will say yes before we waste any energy.
Yeah.
Let's just see if they say yes. And it was a slow go at first. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, because the number kept creeping up in January.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it was like people started mobilizing.
Yeah.
You know, the vision just started catching on.
And, yeah.
And so it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something that I see in Dave is he had been praying for pastors to come into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so when pastors came in the city, rather than a spirit of competition, there was a spirit of collaboration, like going, mm. oh, I've been praying for you.
Yeah.
And so then even as pastors started getting together and praying, and that began to grow, and we were praying for more pastors. So mm-hmm. there was just an openness so that when we saw somebody else, there was no competition. Like, you're the ones we've been praying for.
Yeah.
And I think continuing to bring pastors into that pastor prayer time, where really that was kind of like the white hot core.
That became that incubator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do y'all do that?
Once a month. It's the last Wednesday of each month. And we meet for an hour. We start at 3 o'clock and we end at 4 o'clock. And it's one of my favorite times mm-hmm. you know, of the week. Yeah.
So somebody listening is a pastor mm-hmm. and he or she wants to start praying with other pastors in their church. What do you do first? Or in the city, what do you do first?
Yeah, you know, the most, and it sounds so simple, just find that one person. Find that one pastor, find the one. You know, I think a lot of times as Americans, we tend to think scale.
Yeah.
And Sydney and I always go, hey, before we need to scale anything, we've got to figure out how to live it out in the smallest spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So before you're going, hey, how do I get 100 pastors together? I go, are there three?
Mm.
Are there three that you would go on a double date with them and their husband or them and their wife? Are there three that you could know their kids? Like,
yeah.
And just start praying. And kind of what we found was people sensed that the friendship here was genuine.
Yeah.
Because it is. I mean, it's just, and people comment on it and they go, that's kind of weird. And it just, it's so natural. And so I think the first spot is find somebody that you can run with. But then the next place is, In your attempt to build friendship and intimacy, do not be exclusive. And so it's like, hey, we're going to go deep, but we're going to throw the doors wide open.
Yep.
And we're going to invite everybody in.
Yeah.
And so that, I think those two things have been really important as we've thought about how to get pastors together.
So someone, a normal like me, who's not a pastor at a church, but I want my friends to pray for my city.
Yeah.
What do I do?
You know, I think there's something to, I mean, grabbing two or I like the two or three. Jesus said, when two or three gather my name, like I'm there with you. I think two or three may be his preferred size. Preferred size to start, because with two or three, he can get a word in, you know, where he's like, he's like, now you're listening. And so I think beginning with that two or three, and I wouldn't hesitate to grab somebody from another church.
Yeah.
I think what that says to the next person, to the next person, the next person is we're not just building our little K kingdom. We're building and we're a part. And that's, I remember calling Tom Tanner, mentor of ours. And when I was driving up to Nashville and we were coming up for an interview, and I said, Tom, should I feel bad that our draw to Nashville is bigger than Cross Point, that it's revival? Should I feel bad that it's bigger than Cross Point? You know, with this calling here, he said, if it's not bigger than Cross Point, then don't go. And so it's always been about revival in the city, but finding somebody else. When you talk about revival, people's eyes, they either glaze over or they well up with tears.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, you're find the people whose eyes well up, and then pull them to the core.
Yeah.
And then once you've got a big enough group there, 2, 3, 4, 5, then you can start adding other people and infect with them with that passion as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like that's something like, okay, this month y'all could do that. Anybody could do that. Get two people you know from another church in your city, and y'all just pray. Just get together and pray one time.
Yes.
And see what happens and see what goes to the next thing. Because this is, I think, an important thing for people to hear is Awaken Nashville wasn't an idea you had yesterday that you implemented today.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of years of you, and it started because you wanted pastors to be united. And then in that, like you said, the white hotness of that, we all got invited in. So I think that is a really important thing for people to adopt for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I thought you had more than that. I was like, yes, Dave, go.
No, I just, that's great.
Good, Annie. Kevin, what do you want to see in the city after this, after Awaken Nashville?
That Jesus would be the most famous name in this town.
Yeah, me too.
I wish I would have said that.
Your answer was right, too.
No. Okay, is there any way you can edit his answer?
Onto your...
Yes, and put that after...
Got it.
Me.
Yeah.
And then what I'm going to say is that Jesus would be the most famous person in this town.
Okay. Got it. I'm sure we can handle all that.
That's it. Seriously. That is it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, the thing that I keep, you know, when this angst for revival started bubbling up in me years ago, I thought, man, church is working. Because it was.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. And then I kept being reminded, you know, I'm like, there's going to be a day where this church will close, period. Every church that's ever been planted has shut down. Mm-hmm. It will. On a biological level, like in my family, my own family will forget my name at some point.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, how many people know their great-great-grandmother's names or whatever? It's like, your own family, your church will shut down. You'll be forgotten, which sounds so depressing, but the name of Jesus will last forever.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and I go, let's just spend our whole life pointing to, building up, lifting up the only name, the only name. I'm like, that's it, man. That's the best. That's a great answer.
So for someone listening who doesn't know Jesus, why does he matter this much? Why would he make 40,000 people fast and pray and why do we care that our city knows who he is?
Yeah, man. You know, if I could just sit down at a table with you, you know, if you don't know the Lord, and maybe you've heard all the right answers, but I go, had you been the only person ever born, the only person who ever lived, Jesus Christ, he would have left the comfort of heaven. He would have stooped into the brokenness of earth. He would have walked the earth for 33 years. He would have taken every poor decision, every moment of heartache. He would have taken every bad choice and sense of selfishness he would have put on his shoulders. He would have willingly crawled on a cross and died for you.
Yeah.
And I go, nobody loves you like that.
Yeah.
Nobody loves you like that. And it's amazing to me when I go, I am one of the most truly, and this isn't self-deprecating. It's like, I am so unimportant. It's like I couldn't get the mayor of our town on the phone. Like, right. You know, I mean, nobody knows me. It's like I'm not but the God of the universe, the God of the universe says, hey, I'm not going to outsource this mission.
Yeah.
Like when I was stuck, he didn't send a messenger.
Yeah.
He didn't send a letter. He didn't send me some instructions. He came.
Yeah.
He came. You know, and I was thinking about, remember last year, that soccer team in Thailand, they got stuck in the cave?
Yeah.
And that like crazy rescue mission, which was just amazing, and watching them rescue those kids. But I go, what would have happened if the president of Thailand would have gotten in the cave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I go, that's the gospel.
Huh. Yeah.
I go, that's right. And I go, man, you it's like, to the non-Christian, like, man, God loves you so much. He's stirring his kids up saying, yeah. Every person matters.
Yeah.
Every person matters. And
yeah.
So I didn't mean to get preachy. I just.
No, that's not. No, that's the answer to the question. That's not preachy.
Yeah.
That's like, the thing. I mean, anyone who will do a search and rescue mission like this is just loves us more than we could ever know.
Mm. Yeah, man.
What do you think?
He's changed my life.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, it was like, get to know Jesus because you go to heaven when you die.
Yeah.
Like get to know Jesus, pray a prayer, and you'll like go up there.
Yeah. Right. Literally up. And, you'll go
and,
up. Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I want that because I don't want to go down there.
Right.
I don't want
to
hell.
Right.
You know? But then the more that I've known him, I've found he's right about everything.
Yep.
His teaching, he's the master teacher. He's just right about the way things really are. And out of his love for me, he's changing me from the inside out. I used to think it was like, do certain things and then that way you'll be different. Mm. But like an outside in, a management of behavior, but he's changing what really matters to me in my heart. Yeah. So it's from the inside out and I'm a different person. I'm more who I was created to be today than I was back then, because of Jesus, and I really don't even want to imagine where I'd be today if it wasn't without that rescue. And then, but he doesn't just stop at the rescue, right? Mm-hmm. He just continues to remake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come.
Yeah,
and being made new, and being made new, and being made new is a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most important relationship, you know.
Yeah.
I'm alive. So one day we'll get up there.
Yeah.
But until then, he brings up there down here in our hearts.
Yeah.
So good.
This month has felt like we have gotten to see God do things in our city that we couldn't have. And it didn't even, we're just getting started. I mean, the thing we keep hearing over and over again is like, that wasn't the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a conversation that I was a part of as well, an important part of a fasting and praying like this is remembering that you're going to be different at the end for sure. But there's different kinds of fast. And this kind of fast is you're making bank deposits every day for God to withdraw later.
Mm. Yes.
Or for God to withdraw now and we just don't see it.
Mm.
It is different than when you're fasting for revelation or when you're fasting for healing or when you're fasting because you need something to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I had a friend say, I don't know that I feel any different. And I was like, yeah. You just made a deposit every day.
Mm-hmm.
When we fast together like this, we're just going, you're making a deposit, so am I.
Mm.
You're making a deposit, so am I. And so that God doesn't miss anybody.
Mm. Yeah.
We get to make a deposit to be a part of him pursuing every person in this city. I just think he may have moved me here for this.
Yeah.
You know? Like I think God gave me like a 10-year runway before Kevin got here. Like I had to just come and get settled for a whole decade and then we could run.
Yeah.
And I So,
and Annie, I want to commend you because as a pastor, I think a question deep down inside that we ask, like, is anybody with me? Like, I think this is what God wants us to do, but is anybody with me on this? And Annie, as a volunteer and as just as somebody who loves the church, but there's just great courage that even as pastors, we draw from people who go, yeah, I'm in. And not just I'm in with you, but I'm in with what Jesus is doing here. So I would just, I just want to hold up and honor that because there are other people listening who are part of churches. Like, what can I do, you know, at the church? I mean, when there are things like this that seem like it's like God's agenda, go all in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just help other people around you. Really, I think it moves forward the vision of what God is doing. And it's an encouragement to the pastor or to your leader to know, man, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
We're in this together.
Good. Yeah. I'm so glad y'all feel that way. Well, you're welcome. That is true. Okay, what did we not say we need to say?
If you want to get your city praying and you don't know how, just reach out to us. I mean it.
Okay. What does that look like? How do we reach out? Is there a contact page on Awaken Nashville?
Just send me an email.
Dave Clayton, my words.
I know.
Buddy, I can't do that to you. I can't do that to you.
Listen, I don't have an administrative assistant. I don't, it's like.
You don't?
No. So I'm,
blessings.
So I'm just saying, hey.
I can't. His email is Annie@ because I do, and I'll, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, Dave, for real, you want people to email you?
Yeah, listen.
Okay.
I go, if you want to try this, shoot me an email, DaveClayton@awakennashville.com.
Okay.
Just send me an email, and depending on how many of you email me, it's going to be a while before I get back. And,
yeah.
We're going to take this next little season and say, hey, God, what do you want to do? But yeah. we'll get back.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And we want to see God. We want to see God move across the country and across the world. And so, you know, we had some of our global pastors in with us last week from all over. And they said, hey, next year we're doing Awaken Kenya and we're doing Awaken Uganda and Awaken Denmark. And I'm like, we want to help. And we don't exactly know what that looks like, but reach out.
Yeah. So, and while you're waiting on Dave to respond to you, get two friends from two other churches and just start praying.
Yeah, and go to awakennashville.com, download the resources. It'll help you get going.
Yeah. Kev, will you tell the story? One thing I want us to acknowledge, and you actually led me there, Dave, is that long before Awaken, there were people praying for Nashville. And one of my favorite things was on Monday night, you did a gathering. Y'all hosted a gathering of leaders across our city who had led churches and have been praying. And you had them stand up based on, have you served in Nashville 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Why'd you do that? And what did we see?
You know, in many ways, I feel like the worker that was late to the vineyard.
Right.
I mean, I think there's an unprecedented harvest that's around the corner, and I just got to town 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And I'm well aware that that there have been decades of prayer for revival, and so it was one of those moments where I'm looking around the room and I'm going, there are people who are who have been around for a long time, people who have white hair, and people who just have calloused knees, you know, and calloused hands from serving, and so I thought. I'd love to be able to see how long people have been here. And so I said, hey, if you've been in the city pastoring over 10 years, stand, and over 20 and over 30 and over 40. And at that moment, there were two men standing.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I couldn't believe there were two who'd been here for over 40 years as pastors.
One named Phil, one named Don.
Yeah.
And I said, over 50 stand, and Phil sat down. And I had these drum kind of mallets, these antique drum mallets, and on there had somebody who has great, you know, penmanship, write the word revival.
Not me.
They're like, can somebody help me? I don't know what this is, but it says revival on it. And so I had had two of those. Just so happened to have two.
Yeah.
And I was able to get both of those men on those. Just in our heart, Dave and I, our heart for them. And the reason we did it was we want to say thank you for banging the drum for revival for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And what we're experiencing right now is the fruit of seed that you've been sowing for decades.
Yeah. I think that's important for us as for any of my friends that are listening that start praying for their city, that start seeing changes. I bet someone's been praying for your city. Mm. I bet there have been people for decades and for generations. And so if they are still alive, can you honor them? Mm. Because that's how I feel about Dale, Pastor Dale. And I saw him. I mean, I found him.
Were you there Monday night?
Yeah.
Oh,
I was there.
I didn't get to see you.
You were very popular, Dave Clayton. Everybody wants to talk to Dave Clayton. I just was in the back. But it was awesome.
Were you
sitting
near Dale? Did you get to hang with him?
No. I found him.
Oh, gotcha.
I went and found him. And I just said, hey, I know how long you've been doing this. And I just want you to know that I recognize that we are reaping what you have sown.
Yes.
And that when God tallies all this up, it ain't gonna be about me. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be about Jesus. But when God tallies all this up, Dale's 25 plus years of praying will be a marker that matters. Mm-hmm. And we're getting to come in and be a part of it at the end. I wanted us to recognize that for people that we are getting to do something. When you get to start praying for your city, you are getting to do something that someone else sowed in already. If y'all wouldn't mind, I think it would just matter a lot. Could y'all just pray for us as we go? I just want us to pray for the cities and pray for the people who want this to be a part of their lives.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. So, Father, I pray that you would give gospel friendships.
Yeah.
I just want to start there. I thank you for the friend that Dave has been to me, and I pray that we would be a friend to others like that. God, would you give friendships and relationships that are bigger than our lives that stretch into eternity? Yeah. God, would you birth in the heart of each person listening a burden for revival? For revival in their own lives and in their homes? Would you help them see those pictures of what it looks like? Would you inspire their imagination to dream with you? And then, God, I pray that they begin to see those dreams come to life. Yeah. I pray, God, that you would inspire a vision of what revival looks like in their city, in their churches, and God, that from that vision, Lord, that you would help them collect a couple people, and that you'd help them identify. You just highlight who those people are, and that you would bring those groups together. And God, I pray that the moment they get together, the two or three, that your spirit would fall in power. And they just know this is not a normal gathering. This is on God's agenda. It's not on their agenda. It's on your agenda, Lord. I pray that they would just know it. They would sense it. They would feel it in that moment. And they would see you move. And we pray that from those meetings, that these pockets of awakening would begin and would continue. And so, Father, we just we thank you for what you're doing, and thank you what you've done, and we just pray, Lord, that God, we would be able to sow seed for the next great awakening. Yeah.
Father, thank you for what you're doing in the city, and we recognize that you've been at work for way before any of us lived here.
That's right.
You've been moving throughout human history, and God, you've been working in the secret places. You've been working in little churches that nobody's ever heard of. You've been working in living rooms of a single mom that's just been praying for years. You've been working in so many ways, God, and we just acknowledge that. And God, I would say, would you bring to fruition in our day, in our time, would you bring to fruition the answers to those prayers? God, would you move in an incredible way in not just the city of Nashville, but I'd say for every person that's listening right now, God, would you awaken their cities? Would you awaken pastors and leaders and churches and communities? Would you awaken the prayer warriors? And God, would you bring revival? God, I ask that you would so radically shift the spiritual landscape of our cities, of our homes, of our churches, of our nation, that the world would have to take notice, and that it would happen in such a way that no man or woman could ever get credit for it. That it would be you and you alone, that the only logistical possibility would be that there is someone hearing these prayers and responding. And Jesus, would you make yourself known in really powerful ways across our city and across the country? Yeah. We love you. Thank you for being real. Thank you for listening. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for just how immeasurably good you are. And would you just encourage and bless each person that would even just give up time to listen to a podcast like this? And then would you help them be a prayer? Help them to pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Okay, you heard him say it. Dave said it. If you want more information, if you want to do this in your city, email him, DaveClayton@awakennashville.com. You can just go straight to him and tell him you're interested. And as he said, give him a little bit of grace as he answers all the emails that come in from this. And listen, if you have a friend in a different city that you know wants to see God move in their city, send them this conversation. Let's get this idea spreading around the world. I almost said our country, and I'm like, you know what? Forget that. Let's get people praying in their city. Whatever city you live in, is there one person you could send this podcast to? Or maybe two people, like we talked about. Are there two people you could send this conversation to and say, hey, would you do this with me? Would you pray for our city with me? This is a great way to start that conversation. So why don't you share this with your friends? Maybe share it with your pastor. Share it with some people that you know want to see God move in your city. As always, if there's anything I can do for you, I'm Annie F. Downs. I'm embarrassingly easy to find all over the place. And man, while I love having this podcast to tell you about my friends, introduce you to my friends, days like today really matter to me too, where we get to share an idea, share a message, share an invitation to something bigger than us. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. Y'all go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. And we will see you soon.